Continue our series on the Lord's Prayer, and I'd like to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, the verses 5 through 15 is our text this morning. A beloved and trusted staff member said to me some time ago, "I think I've finally figured out how to listen to your sermons." Eric said, he said, "You know, you don't preach in a line. A lot of preachers preach in a line. It goes straight across, and it's deductive. And yours are more inductive, so I start with a center point, and I start writing words or something around that circle, and now that's how I map out your sermons." And I found that helpful in the sense that maybe I need to provide a map for people who do more deductive. So on the back of your bulletin today, there is a little bit of an outline and some key takeaways from today. And it's not a direct outline because I don't do anything too directly, I think. But there's some, I think there's some good nuggets there that could be helpful. And I just would like to summarize some of them. There are only two places in the Bible, in the New Testament, where we have the Lord's Prayer given, and they're in Matthew and in Luke. Matthew's version, which is the one we're looking at in this series, is one that Jesus is teaching, making some teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, and he teaches them how to pray. In Luke's version, it's much shorter. In fact, Luke has John's disciple, or Luke has Jesus' disciples come and say, "John's disciples got taught how to pray by John. How would you like us to pray?" So it comes right on the heels of, here is another prophet who has taught his disciples to pray as your disciples. How should we pray? The prayer is very much rooted in Old Testament themes. In fact, most scholars say that ancient Jews would have no problems praying this prayer. And one of the things I really found helpful this week in my own preparation was just reading some of Martin Luther. Luther read these words and he found it extremely liberating to say, "Oh, so my prayers don't have to be long. Oh, when I fall asleep praying, I don't have to feel guilty about it." Not that that would happen to any of us. But he taught his congregation that this teaching of Jesus is that our prayers should be intense, they should be short, and they should be from the heart. They shouldn't be long prayers. So make your prayers short, frequent, and intense. And I found that helpful this week. And point number five is that I think Jesus gives this prayer, and it's like a handrail. It's there if you need it. And don't feel bad about needing it if you don't know what to pray. That's some of his guide for us. So as we think about our themes this morning, we're looking at let your kingdom come. And I would encourage us to approach this text this morning with an open heart. And let's ask for that, an open, soft heart as we get ready to read the scripture reading today. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word that has been passed down to us. We thank you for people who have lived it and who have shown it to us. We thank you for this opportunity to read it and try to live into it. So wherever we are today, we pray that you would help us and help us to be faithful, whether reading, speaking, or finding new ways to live with you. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But instead, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Well, I'm not sure about you, but for me, this is the time of year that I spend some time on a treadmill. I have plenty of walking time in the summer, but in the winter I get a little lumpy, and weather like this does not motivate me. So three times a week, I go to a local gym, and I begin a life on a treadmill, which is no life at all. That may prolong your life, but I'm convinced that it just seems like you live longer when you're on a treadmill. And I found a wonderful new community of relationships of people that I wouldn't have known otherwise. There's the time of day that I go, there's the retired school teacher, there's another school teacher, there's a college student, there's a guy who always wears a green shirt, and there is a huge retired professional football player, and he regularly, when he sees me, says, "How's the preacher, man?" And I say, "I'm pretty good, Ron." And so we get to know each other a little bit. There's the guy who's recovering from a recent surgery, too. And one day I found myself watching the news that I was watching and on my treadmill. And I looked down and I looked over at the person near me, and I looked up at the TV monitor that they were watching, and I thought, oh no, they were watching another news station. Why are you watching that? I thought. To sort of try and have a balm, I looked over at the other person, and they were watching another news channel, and I thought, oh, I liked you so much. And I must have gotten caught, because the gentleman who was there kind of looked at me and looked at my news, and he just shook his head. So this past week, Mr. Greenshirt and I came next to our treadmills at the same time, and I said, "So how's this going to work?" And I deferred to him, and he deferred to me, and I didn't know what we should watch, because we weren't going to let that interfere with this. And Mr. Greenshirt said to me something that I will never, ever forget. "You like HGTV?" I love HGTV. And together he and I walked off into the sunset that night. Why do I share that story? Because moments like that remind me that CNN and Fox and MSNBC and Congress and the President and HGTV are all advancing a view of the world. They all are. Their kingdom that they are advancing is one that where they design their life and their perceptions and everything that they see being read through that lens, and it impacts the kinds of stories that they tell. And for most of us, it's wearying. It's exhausting. And if you're anything like me, then you see another person's news, and suddenly this is impacting the way this little community that we had going on with one another. And the real trial of our time is that this kind of thing divides us and silences us, and it stops us from telling the kinds of stories that we really need to tell. This kind of thing saps our energy, and it takes us away from the volunteering we would like to do, the kind of community that we would like to have, the relationships we'd like to have, even with some of our family members. It pulls us away from the stories that we want to tell here about generosity, of kindness, of compassion and care. These are the kinds of things that give life and buoyancy to us. These are the kinds of things that are contagious as we live out our faith together. We need each other's stories and the stories that we tell, because the kingdom that we have been given reframes the way in which we see the world, which is so much bigger than different forms of media. And I mean all of them. Because if you and I are formed too much on the text of HGTV, we think that everybody has solid surface countertops and walk-in closets that are like an arena, and all of this can be solved in 45 minutes. Jesus was no stranger to the politics and the claims of a kingdom in his day. There was Pilate, and there was Herod, and there was Caesar, and there was the Roman Empire. And what did Jesus do? But he called Matthew the tax collector, and he called Simon and James and Judas, who were all zealots. How did that work? How did they sit around the table together? And he taught all of them, "Pray, let thy kingdom come." Jesus knows that there's competition out there for kingdoms. He knows that people are strongly rooted in their convictions. But he invites all of us to reframe the way in which we see the world through the lens of God being on the throne and Jesus being here on earth in the flesh, showing us what the kingdom looks like. And it looks like kindness and compassion. It looks like the kind of stretching into neighborliness that might be uncomfortable for us. He invites us to pray with him that the powers of evil would be defeated, that Christ would take the throne in our hearts, and that justice and mercy, like the prophets imagined, would fill the earth. And anyone who's serious about that prayer is going to reframe the way we see neighbors and enemies and strangers and say, that's right. I live by a different kingdom ethic, rather than the perspectives that are being pumped into my heart, into my living room. So this prayer is for those who are weary and exhausted by the world's that are being put upon us and inviting us into the spacious world of the kingdom where justice and mercy and compassion and Christ-likeness comes home to reign. And so it's such a rich prayer for us to pray if we can pray it from the heart. Oh God, come and make this world right. Hear that this morning? Jesus is not teaching us to evacuate this world. No, this world belongs to God. He's calling us to become more and more deeply rooted in the fact that God is here already, but there's so much work to be yet done. There's so much that has to happen inside of us. So this is as much a plea for help as anything, because in our lives there's continually these words and images and perspectives that are seeking to pull us away and saying, no, this is the kingdom. And this is one of the reasons why we come into Christian worship, to be shaped by another set of news. And the news is not evacuation, it's about engagement. Maybe, perhaps, Luke and Jesus had read that wonderful text in Revelation 21, which is all about that city that is coming where? Down to earth, so that God can dwell fully with us forever, and the world can be the way it is supposed to be. Which means creation, which means relationships. It's not a get me out of here. It is a won't you come down? So the prayer that's offered is one that can be taught to Emmett and to Palmer. And we want to join them in teaching them this prayer, because all of us need reminders that this is the perspective that we want at the center. We want to imagine a world with God without all of the junk and the brokenness of our humanity. Bring your kingdom to earth. That's a prayer that can be taught and said at a bedside for a little kid before he or she goes to sleep at night. That can be said in a hot nursing home by someone who says, I can't do much anymore, but all I can do is pray. And that's a powerful prayer. It's a world-changing, life-changing prayer. It can be spoken from a cramped dormitory or in a lonely car, because we have one who is as close as Abba, Papa, who will hear our prayer. Change my world, change the world, change me so that I am not stuck with the way that I keep seeing the world. I go to the gym and I'm frustrated with my new community. That's my problem, not theirs. Convict me of that. Challenge me around that, around my own silliness. Plant in me what Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, about a little faith the size of a mustard seed, and who knows how big this will grow. Who knows what can happen when we are reminded of who we are and whose we are and that we belong in Christian community. The prayer asks God to be present, recognizing there's a multitude of regimes out there, but there's only one story, there's only one narrative that I want to be shaping my life in Christian community, and that will exhibit itself in generosity and kindness and mercy. It will look very much like Jesus. And when the kingdom begins to do that in us, not only will it change the way in which we see, but it will change our ethics. It will change our lifestyles. It will change the things that are most important to us, because this prayer is all about asking God to shift our desires, our yearning, to what matters most. Help me with that. Let your kingdom come here and here so that the whole world can be changed. So that my day and my week can be shaped by a whole new set of news, a whole new set of stories. So that I have the security to say, so tell me, what do you like about that news? What are you thinking? And rather than offering my opinion, listen. Because nobody's listening to each other anymore. We've all got something to say. But we join the prayer of the early church that says, Maranatha, Come, Lord Jesus, help us change this world. Change the way things are going. Be the king of our hearts. Come re-narrate the world with your story and give us perseverance and stamina because we're tired. And we need the kind of community that gives life in all of our differences under one storyline. And you know we need it. You know it before we even ask. But help us to find the words. Not the words of a preacher, but our own words. The words that come out of the closet of our life. The words that come out of the supply room of our life. The words that come out of our loneliness and our worry and our concern. Help me with those words so that I can make your kingdom first. Let thy kingdom come. This kind of praying does not ask a lot of you and me. But it asks the world of God. Do it again. Do it again. Let thy kingdom come. And when our vision is set by that storyline, I think we have something to offer the tired and weary world, the divided world, the worlds of the Herod and the Pilate and the Caesar and the Roman Empire, our citizenship, our passport is from another place. And Jesus reminds us of who we are for the good of the world, for the good of the neighborhood, for the good of the relationships that need it so much. So let this be our prayer. Let thy kingdom come. And let's let that shape our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Help us, O God, as we teach this prayer to our children. Help us, O God, as we say this prayer to you, and we hear it on our own lips and the lips of others. Help us, O God, to claim your rule and reign in our lives. Help us, O God, to offer something to the neighborhood and to the world around us because we see your world differently. We see your world through the eyes of vision. We see your creation as you intended it to be. And with gentleness and mercy, help us to live faithfully out of that place. Let thy kingdom come in us, in our community, and in our world. Come, Lord Jesus. We pray in the name and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.